on 1116 SEN. The Bush and the Burbs with Paul Daffy for Abus, the brand chosen by security professionals. If you love it, lock it with Abus.
Well, people like that title, Bush and the Burbs, but we'd have to change it because it's neither Burbs nor Bush, it's Beach that we're going to today. How are you, Daff?
The Bush and the Burbs and the Beach. G'day, Finey. I'm good. We do normally talk about footy, but in some we diversify a bit. And just a great percolating issue down past Warrnambool, where horses have always been trained on the beach. That's nothing new. But there's been this deluge of horses towards the beach in the Killarney, Tower Hill, Port Fairy area.
Yes.
Just past Warrnambool. Since Darren Weir trained Prince of Penzance to victory in the 2015 Melbourne Cup. So Darren Weir, mate. And saltwater has restorative powers. You only have to look at the television on Sunday morning to see all the AFL footballers doing a recovery session down at Port Melbourne or wherever. It's the same with horses, of course. But Darren Weir's success meant that everyone in the Warrnambool area decides they must go down the beach. And so there was this,
well, let's be
just
fair,
too many horses for the local residents who live near the beach.
Let's be fair. They've got some great trainers that emanate from Warrnambool. Kieran Maher.
Is another one. Is a classic one, yeah.
Yeah, and there's I think the Wilds are from Warrnambool.
Simon, is it?
Yes, yeah. Are they from around there?
I'm not sure, fine. But yeah, but there's 50 trainers.
Yeah,
and this scheme encompasses 50 trainers.
There's another trainer, a real up-and-comer, who's Warrnambool-based, and we're talking about a lot of horses, and you've got to start thinking about, you know, dogs do little poopies, horses do bigger poopies, and
there's residents.
You can't ask the horse to wait till they're finished at the beach.
No, you can't. But there are residents who, you know, want to go for a swim,
and holiday makers,
environmental issues. So this just all built up a head of steam this year. Actually, before I go on, when I was living in Ireland, which is many years ago, there was a racing meeting on a beach north of Dublin once a year in June for historic reasons.
Yes.
That's the way they did it a century ago. So they just kept this going one weekend in June. And to my knowledge, they still do it. I forget the name of the beach, just the north of County Dublin there. They have a meeting every year.
Yep.
But it's built up a head of steam during this year until the Warrnambool Racing Club got involved and brokered a deal, which did their best to please all parties. And it was about to go through, and then the Greens introduced a bill into Parliament, or at least an amendment in Parliament recently, which has pushed back the deal, which won't quite be solved until the new year.
Hang on,
there's machinations in place, and we'll be speaking to the Warrnambool Racing Club and Shane Howard from the local residents group about the issue.
Not Shane. Was Shane Howard the leader of lead singer
of Goanna? The very man, fine. It's actually King, who's the chairman of the Warrnambool Racing Club, and Shane Howard, former lead singer of Goanna.
He's one of the most...
still known for Solid Rock, which was released in about 1984,
and much more besides. He is a hugely influential person in Australian music, sort of not recognised, but also...
recognised.
I'm saying recognised, but, you know, spending a long time sort of just away from the game. Gee, this will be interesting. But let's start with the chairman of the Warrnambool Racing Club, Ashley King, who joins us this morning. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning, Paul and Mark. How are you?
Very well.
And good, mate.
I guess the good thing is... however this plays out, and hopefully we get back to where the situation was headed prior to intervention by government, isn't that always a handy circuit breaker? But before we even think about that, isn't it great that Warrnambool is being recognised now Australia-wide, probably internationally, as a mecca for good training of thoroughbreds and good trainers as well?
Yeah, that's certainly the case. And just listening to your comments earlier about some of the trainers, you know, we're very fortunate. We've got this pot of trainers who are really putting Warrnambool on the map. And, you know, certainly, obviously the beach as a part of their training routine has been a big part of that success. And, you know, as we know, the racing industry and the Western industry, it just has a huge economic impact. So, this has all sort of escalated, you know, quickly of recent times, and, you know, it's recognised there's a need to introduce some controls, and that has led to the introductions of the licence regime.
Actually, it's Paul Daffy. I mean, trainers have always taken down that way, and on any coastal region have taken their horses for a bit of a swim, just for the restorative aspect of helping them recover. But this in this story, there seems to be a pre-Prince of Prince Anne's era and a post-Prince of Prince Anne's era. Like, everyone knew the Darren Weir utilised the water down past Warrnambool, and so others wanted to get in on the act. Is that fairly accurate? Like, how many horses would go down to the beach before the 2000 Melbourne Cup and how many afterwards?
Oh, look, yeah, certainly, you know, the Prince of Prince Anne's issue probably brought it to greater attention, but over a period of time, you know, as the racing club has been developing up its facilities and the beach has complemented the training of horses in our area, the numbers have been on the increase. And as I said, you know, this has probably escalated quickly on the back of that Melbourne Cup victory, and you know, it just needs time now to put in place a process to consider all the parties, but also to ensure that the industry here remains viable and sustainable, and access to the beaches is very much a part of that.
So actually, are we talking about one beach, four beaches? How many beaches are involved?
Well, there's a number of sites across between Warrnambool and Ferry, including the Belfast Coastal Reserve beaches. So there's probably about six or seven sites that are utilised at various times, depending on, you know, conditions of the beach and also time of the year. Some environmental factors and other users. So it really just needs time to sort through how this can be best implemented in the interests of all parties, and also, you know, the needs of the trainers to be able to continue what they do.
So let's say in February, 10 months ago, before all the machinations started to be put into place, how many horses would have been on the beach at a particular beach on a given morning?
Look, I can't give you the accurate figure on that, but, you know, at Lady Bay and Warrnambool, there'd be, you know, on any one day, there could be 80 or 100 horses across a period of time. Killarney, you know, the same could be 50, 40 or 50 across the beaches through the reserve, but that can vary from day to day. Obviously, you could show up on one day and there's an increased number, and the next day, you know, there wouldn't be as many. So it's more about managing, you know, when people go there and the times of the year that it's more likely that all interested parties, be it environmental or users, can be taken into consideration.
All right, so Killarney's between Warrnambool and Port Ferry, just for Melbourne listeners. All right, so what's the deal now? You've brokered a deal where there are fewer horses on the beach at one time. What's the upshot?
Look, just at the moment, with the licence motion being disallowed, the deal was to have 50 horses work Monday to Friday at a particular beach called Mills's Reef, up until 9 a.m. in groups of three, sort of 50 metres apart, and no more than five groups at any one time. So that's in terms of the number of horses that probably would normally use the beach, that is a cap, but that licence hasn't actually been agreed to now and won't be revisited until when state government returns in February. But we're, as a racing club, encouraging the trainers to work in the spirit of what that licence intended at this point in time, until such time as we work through, you know, what the ongoing licence will provide.
We're speaking with Ashley King, chairman of the Warrnambool Racing Club, what has become now a division between racing people, trainers, and of course racing club concerned parties in Warrnambool and residents over the usage of the beach area, one for training, one for all the recreation one can have at the beach. Ashley, when governments get involved, invariably thereafter follows financial gains for the state. Is there any impost being placed on these trainers going forward to use the beach, or has there been in the past?
Well, there is a fee for the licence for this 3-month period, But previously there's been no significant permit or licence fee required to access the beaches in the Belfast Coastal Reserve or at Port Ferry. So no, it's not about a revenue raising exercise at all. This is really about working out a sustainable model for the needs of the trainers and taking into account the interests of other users.
And finally, have you had any other locations where you've been able to go and say, well, in Ireland this occurs, in the United Kingdom this occurs, even in Australia there's been dual usage and this is what the outcome was?
Well, yeah, certainly we're aware in Victoria there are other locations, you know, around Western Port and Port Phillip Bay that do have beaches that are used. I'm not aware of the particular details of that, but yeah, certainly it's not uncommon that that racehorses utilise the benefits of the beach and the ocean as a part of their program.
Yeah, well, back in the day when Mordialloc or Epsom was a training venue, horses regularly appeared at Mordialloc Beach, and there was a simple rule of thumb there, Ashley, and that was, my horse is bigger than you, so I suggest you get out of the way.
Yeah, well, look, I think, you know, common sense has got to prevail in any of these things. And, you know, the other thing is that, you know, there is a large part of the community that are actually interested in seeing the horses working on the beach. It's an attraction in that way as well. So it's not as though this is just something that's appeared overnight. You know, horses have been coexisting in this environment, you know, for a long period of time.
That's a really interesting last point. Yeah, I'd love to see horses actually training on the beach. I'd be more than happy to go down there and put the budgie smugglers away and just watch the thoroughbreds. Ashley, thank you for joining us. And it's a situation that looks like resolution is at hand. Hopefully that comes sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think all parties just got to be patient, work through it, and you know, I'm sure we'll get the right outcome for the needs of the trainers and satisfy the other users at the same time.
And congratulations on continued great racing at the spacious and very popular Warrnambool Racetrack. We'll speak again, I'm sure.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ashley.
Ashley King, the chairman of the Warrnambool Racing Club, to a break, Daff. And when we come back, the other side of the story from a famous resident of the region, the name Howard... is Shane Howard is synonymous, of course, with music more associated with the Red Centre, but very much a part of the Warrnambool Port Ferry District is the Howard family, and we'll be speaking to Shane when we return. Well, welcome back to the Play On Music. No surprise, Shane Howard, famously of the Go Anna Band and Solar Rock, but much more in music, maybe for the residents in the hamlet of Killarney or Port Ferry or Warrnambool, is first and foremost part of a very famous family that calls that patch of Victoria heaven on earth because it's got an enormous pull. And as a representative of the residents group that is in a bit of a tug of war over foreshore and beach between themselves and thoroughbreds, joins us now on the morning program on 1116 SEN. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, Paul.
G'day, Shane. It's Paul Daffy here, but you're with Mark Fine as well.
It's all right.
Mark, how are you? Sorry.
Good, mate. I just do the intros. Daff does the research. So, Paul, over to you. And by the way, we should say that Daffy's a name not unassociated with sort of the west of Victoria as well, isn't it, Paul?
Shane asked me this morning when I rang him.
Well, it's what we do in southwest Victoria. We go, oh, which Daffy's are you?
Yes. If I speak to anyone from that area, I do get asked, are you one of the Daffy's from Camperdown? And the answer is there's two brothers. One of them went north to Bendigo, and that's my strand. So I explained to Shane that I'm a northern Daffy, but there's still a big mob and involved in horses as well in Camperdown. But Shane,
they're a very famous family in the horse racing industry.
Okay, and there's a Jack Daffy who was mayor of Warrnambool.
That's right.
Three or four times many years ago.
Yeah, he was a great mate of my dad too.
Was he?
Okay. Yeah.
Right. We could go on, Shane, but
look, to put it in context, my dad was, dad loved the horses.
Right, okay.
He was a bookmaker supervisor for a lot of the, for the country racing meetings. Around here, and I used to go with him. We used to go with him as kids, you know, to the meets, Penshurst, Hamilton, you know. And my favourite track was Dunkeld with the mountains, the Grampians in the background.
It's a magnificent backdrop, isn't it? I mean, in the old days, every town in the Western District had a track. It was a huge horse racing area.
It was, yeah. Corroy had a track. Porteri had a track, you know.
Do you know that Aspley had a track?
Where?
The last town.
Out of Edenhope.
Yeah. The last town before you get to the border. Aspley has a racetrack there.
Yeah, I think they still run a year at Edenhope or something.
At Edenhope they do, but it absorbed Aspley.
Okay. Well, there was no greater supporter of horse racing than the Irish, of course.
That's right. Well,
and Southwest Victoria, of course, is one of the highest concentrations of Irish migration going back to the 1850s, which is when our mob landed here, really. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Shane, we'll cut through to the current situation. You've got a background in horse racing. You and your fellow members of the Belfast Coastal Reserve Residents Action Group, what have you been protesting against?
Oh, well, look, it's a there's a history of horses and horse training, like we said here, but Kevin Lafferty and people like that. But it was always very, very small scale sort of stuff. But last summer we had 60 to 80 horses suddenly turn up on Killarney Beach every day.
Right.
And doing full training workouts. And, you know, Bill Yates, my mate, who's a local fellow and fisherman, keen fisherman, he went down one day and couldn't even get his boat in the boat ramp. And so he dropped in home and he was pretty livid. So we just noticed the escalation happen. And, you know, essentially what happened is the Warrnambool City Council allowed horses onto the Warrnambool Beach some years ago. I don't think it was well thought through. They didn't put a cap on numbers. And then the numbers increased. And then they shut the beach for 3 months over the summer.
Yep.
You know, I don't know where they expected the horses to go. So all of a sudden, without any kind of... There was no real plan or consultation or discussion. They just suddenly started to turn up on Killarney Beach. And we said, well, hold on, this is not safe. It's... there's environmental concerns, and we thought naively we'd just alert the local land managers and it would be the Shire Council and that would be dealt with. But here we are 12 months later, still trying to get some resolution, I suppose, on this. And as locals, we just feel that the numbers have gotten completely out of hand. It's, you know, a lot of big trainers have come in from outside the district and have seen the beach training as a, you know, as a good thing, and why wouldn't you? But it's just, it's so big an industrial scale that it's just, we don't feel it's sustainable. And we don't have an historical model for this kind of activity. Yeah, we've got environmental concerns, there's endangered birds, there's public safety. And also the big question is, you know, when you get that kind of large-scale commercialisation of public land, it raises all sorts of questions about how legitimate is that kind of activity when you're sacrificing your beaches.
Yeah.
I mean, you like to be able to walk on the beach and feel with your kids and that and feel like go to the beach and feel you're safe.
So you mentioned the public land. I mean, it's Parked Victoria land, I gather. So the trainers are training for commercial gain.
Yeah.
So there's a... I mean, there's a governance issue around that. And what's the response of the trainers been? Has it been an emotional issue, or have negotiations gone fairly smoothly?
No, passions have run high. And look, we just feel, look, it's a bit of a mess because historically here you've got four different land managers. You've got DELP, the Department of Environment, Lands, Water and Planning, who are kind of the over-planning sort of overseers. Parks Victoria manage... large parts of the reserve, but Moynshire manage, council manage other parts, and Warrnambool City Council manage other parts. And we've basically said, as we've looked into it and been drawn further into this, let's turn it into a coastal park, let Parks Victoria be one manager with a clear set of guidelines, and put some regulations in place so that, you know, it's not a dog's breakfast.
What's it for you, Shane? What's the best model? Would it be to share two or three beaches which are currently being used on a time basis, or to maybe section off one particular section, which is, for want of another term, a horse beach, and making sure that the all the other coastal areas and beach areas in the region are simply not, they're not allowed to go there. So is it, which of those would be your best way forward?
The we feel that Warrnambool City Council, in conjunction probably with Warrnambool Racing Club, and we're not privy to all that info, but Warrnambool City Council started this whole process off, and we think it was a bit ill-considered. And it escalated to a really high scale, and then they've just closed the beaches over the summer and gone, it's not very neighbourly behaviour. And then all those horses had to go somewhere else then. So they've encouraged everybody in without a plan. And then summertime, everyone's here on our beaches, and we say as locals, well, why don't you keep them on Lady Bay Beach? Keep them there in Warrnambool.
Yep.
And
so sort of partition them to one specific area.
Yeah, I just think that there's a capacity. If Warrnambool close their beaches in summer, is it because of public safety or because it might impact on tourism? Well, it's going to be the same issue in the Moyneshire, in Port Fairy and Killarney, around these beaches.
One last one, Shane, because we've got...
Why don't they develop a purpose-built facility around Warrnambool, close to the bay there?
Yep.
You know, we think that if you get everybody at the table, you can get a really good outcome here that works for the trainers. It probably needs management in terms of numbers, but, you know, we understand, you know, the trainers need somewhere to go. So there are a few options that are on the table. We think the government got it wrong. We think Warrnambool Racing Club and the Warrnambool City Council, everyone needs to come to the table here and really put a plan together that's going to work for everybody, because it's creating a lot of animosity, and that's not good. You don't want people fighting with each other.
Not at all. One last one, Shane, and it's actually a serious question. You said somewhere to go, and the fact is that horses will not be told, look, we're going to the beach, go to the toilet now, and, you know, don't do it down at the beach. I mean, this is with large numbers of large animals. I imagine that's had a very negative impact on not only the beach, but the immediate, the shallows in the water. Is that true, or am I imagining it?
Well, no, look, that's another of the issues. It's a complex situation, but I think it's got a simple solution. That's simply bringing everybody to the table. It was all a bit rushed, a bit ill-considered. I think the government tried to respond it and then tried to rush some things through Parliament without really thinking. I just think it's been done. A lot of stuff's been done that's not been properly considered. There hasn't been proper community consultation. Bring all the parties together, get round a table, and come up with a really good workable solution that, you know, we mightn't always all get what we want, but, you know...
Détente, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a level of agreement. Shane, we've got to move on, but thanks for joining us. Shane Howard, AM, not for services to the beaches of Warrnambool, but to music. DAF, I guess the alternative at the moment would be play friendly and... You know those doggy bags you have to take to the park with you? Do you reckon the trainers that have to take
know those bags, yeah.
You know those garbage tidy bags? Clean up after yourself, mate. Shane, thanks for joining us, mate.
No worries, gentlemen. See you later.
Good on you, Shane. Thank you.
The great Shane Howard. Well done, Def.
Good on you, Finey. Thank you.